any person who has a low family income, with a Pell Grant like that and other state aid that is available, would be able to afford to go to college. They may not be able to go where they want to go, but they would be able to go.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, an extended conversation with a college leader in the Northeast. While colleges and universities are adapting and changing in response to the educational disruptions brought on by the COVID pandemic, Robert Johnson arrived on the still-closed campus of Western New England University in Springfield, Massachusetts, in the summer of 2020 to be introduced as the new president. With decades of experience as a higher education administrator, Johnson firmly believes in-person learning is essential. Johnson sat down with my colleague Paul Tuthill for an extended conversation.
What's Western New England University doing in terms of addressing those issues with families and the cost of a higher education?
Well, of course, you know, we do provide scholarships for students that are need-based and merit-based as an ongoing process. But what I'm really looking to do as we figure out how to evolve our business model to learn, unlearn, and relearn is how do we build some three-year programs in partnering with high schools. So, for example, you know, could we literally create a $30,000 degree where students start taking courses in their junior or senior year in high school for free, take a year at the community college, and then come to us for 2 years. I think we have to begin to build those kinds of bridges in terms of programs. I think we have to look at stackable credentials. We have to look at things like when a student is in our criminal justice program, do we also make sure that they earn a certificate in cybersecurity that enables them to get a real job in real time? I think experiential learning has to become a part of this as well, where students are in the classroom for a period of time and then working for a period of time. And I think that if we look at the balance of all of that, it can help us to control our costs in a different way. I think the other piece of this is we as a society have to determine whether or not, from a public policy perspective, we believe higher education is a public good. I happen to believe that it is. I think that the return on investment for students who go to college over the course of their lives and lifetime earnings, it does pay off. And by the way, Western New England University, you know, we are a national university. We're ranked 228th out of 446 institutions with that national ranking. But the interesting thing is the starting salaries for our students, which is about $58,000, is higher than 52 of the top 100 universities in the country. So, you know, when we think in terms of return on investment and the value proposition, I think that that has to be part of the equation. I think that this is a public policy question for the country. And, you know, I think, you know, student loan debt forgiveness, I think that that's a piece of, you know, whether or not that's a good policy, you know, I won't even address that. But what I will say is we ought to be looking at things like Pell Grant and indexing it against inflation. And if we were to increase Pell Grant, double it two and a half times its current value, any person who comes from a low, any person who has a low family income with a Pell Grant like that and other state aid that is available would be able to afford to go to college. They may not be able to go where they want to go, but they would be able to go. You know, may that be a Western New England, a two-year or four-year public university, access would be available for them. But, you know, you think about, you know, Pell Grant is what, $5,700? Well, you know, 20 years ago it was $3,000. It hasn't gone up much. And so I think we have to look at our public policy and ask ourselves as a society, is higher education a public good? I believe that it is.
I think I read recently that healthcare costs and the cost of a higher education are two sectors that have far outpaced the overall rate of inflation over the last decade. Why is that the case? Address the higher education part of it. I'm going to ask you about healthcare.
Yeah,
but.
Higher education, when we look at our infrastructure and our costs, and it's probably not just the last decade, it's probably been more like the last 20 years or so, that we have outpaced inflation. I think if we look at the last decade in particular, inflation has been extremely low. It's pretty much been non-existent for all practical purposes. And when we have structured built-in costs, may it be the cost of technology, when our software goes up, we have to pay it. We're not going to freeze pay increases for a decade. The cost of food still goes up for us. Our infrastructure costs continuously have gone up over the last decade, but inflation has remained relatively low up until this last year and a half. So it would be actually quite normal, at least in the last decade. I won't speak for the last 20 years, that the our costs have gone up at a much faster rate than inflation.
A lot of small colleges under a lot of financial pressure. Mm-hmm. We've seen over the last few years colleges in mm-hmm. New England have closed, mm-hmm. merged. Mm-hmm. What's the shape of Western New England University financially?
Financially, we are strong. We have cash in the bank. As one of my mentors used to say, we're in good shape for the shape we're in. Our endowment before the market started going down was just below $100 million. By Harvard standards, that's like a drop in the bucket, but it's sufficient. So we're stable. We've had a balanced budget for the last 2 years, and this year's budget is balanced. And I think as long as we continue to do that, we will be fine, managed to the resources that we have available.
Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about Western New England University's role in the greater mm-hmm. Springfield community. We talked about the partnership mm-hmm. with Duggan Academy. Mm-hmm. I know a few weeks ago, you and I were both mm-hmm. at the launch of mm-hmm. of an initiative mm-hmm. by the law school.
Yep.
Involving providing legal assistance mm-hmm. to the greater community through mm-hmm. computer stations. Mm-hmm. And a mobile bus that's mm-hmm. going to be traveling around in the springtime mm-hmm. offering assistance. What else is Western New England University involved in the greater Springfield community?
Actually quite a bit. And so you talk about the legal kiosk that will be at 10 different locations throughout the community, providing legal services for people in Springfield. For several years, we've had a partnership with Big Y, where we physically have clinics in many of the Big Y's doing things to help people in the community to monitor blood pressure, diabetes prevention, healthcare out of our, and that's being managed out of our College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences. We actually will have a group of 75 to 100 high school students on campus this Saturday for a fintech initiative to help young people understand what fintech is and begin to.
What is fintech?
Fintech is how do you utilize technology in managing finances and what have you. Some people want to talk about blockchain and crypto. I won't go that deep and go there. But it's really utilizing technology and finance when all is said and done. And I think that's a big initiative. Out of our College of Business, we have a number of initiatives that we are doing and that we plan to continue to expand, if possible, centered around entrepreneurship and innovation for small businesses. I have a vision whereby we will figure out a way to consolidate all of those things that we're doing in healthcare, for small businesses, the legal kiosk. There may be some other things that we have, I have in mind as well, where we might be able to create a little center in downtown Springfield where you could come for all of those services.
Has it lived up to your expectations when you took the position more than 2 years ago?
Lived up to expectations, I would say yes and then some. I did start in the midst of COVID, and that was not new information, right? but in terms of an institution with good people, great students, great environment, it has totally lived up to my expectations.
You mentioned that obviously starting during COVID, mm-hmm. that had to be a very unique challenge to kind of navigate that whole situation on the fly, so to speak, right?
Well, yes, it was a unique challenge, but I was going to be dealing with COVID no matter where I was. So at my previous institution, we still would have been managing it on the fly. And I think that Western New England is such a great institution with great people. It's part of what attracted me here. It was an interesting time, but you know, we learned how to work, manage, and lead in ambiguity as a steady state.
How do you mean lead in ambiguity?
Well, you know, so for example, you know, every day, just about every day, we would have meetings, emergency management meetings, to talk about the issue of the day as it relates to COVID. You know, you have a meeting at 10 o'clock, and then CDC comes out with some new guidelines at 3 o'clock, and the decision you just made several hours ago is no longer relevant. You got to do something different. If we think of higher education prior to COVID, as a leader and people working within the academy, you know, we had certainty with about 70% of the things we were going to do. 70, 75, sometimes 80%. It was certain. You know, you knew what, you know, generally what the day and the week was going to look like. And then when the anomalies popped up, you had to navigate and manage through them. In the midst of COVID, and particularly in 2020, fall of 2020, at that time we did not have vaccines. We didn't know what we didn't know. The marker, the finish line, kept moving. And every day, every week, we had to be thinking out of the box. We had to be agile. We had to learn, unlearn, and relearn as a steady state. That had to become our mindset. So we went from a point of working, managing, and leading where only 20 or 30% of our lives were ambiguous in terms of decision making, to flipping it where 70, 75% of the time, it's, you know, whatever decision we just made is subject to change. And I think as leaders, we had to reinvent ourselves, and living and working in uncertainty became the norm.
Has the pandemic permanently altered higher education, permanently changed things here at Western New England University?
So I'm going to give a bifurcated answer there. In some ways, the way that we will do business has changed forever. You know, some form of online and hybrid learning will be with us forever. Some form of hybrid or remote work will be with us forever. And I think in those ways, it has drastically changed. I think whatever the new normal will be, that has changed. But we're writing that chapter right here, right now. So you know, people say, "Well, you're returning back to normal." Well, we don't know what normal is yet. I think other ways that it has changed. We have an entire student population, and not just at Western New England, but I think at all colleges and universities, who have just gone through a traumatic experience. So, you know, you think about generationally. You know, you have the baby boomers, Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z, and you can see the shifts coming in how, you know, they process and think about information. But now, because you have an entire generation that has been traumatized, the student body changed overnight, not over multiple years. And also our workforce, in terms of, you know, what we expect of ourselves and what we expect of our students. I think the social isolation and helping our students and ourselves to learn, unlearn, and relearn how to socialize again, I think is one of the big things. Helping students to become engaged one with the other again, that's a learning, unlearning, and relearning kind of normative behavior that, you know, is going to be with us. And then I think the learning disruption that took place, particularly for students coming out of high school, and for students who will be coming to us for years, an A in calculus at XYZ high school 3 or 4 years ago might be very different than an A today.
And that's because of the learning loss through remote learning?
Yeah, so I think, some people call it learning loss. I like to call it learning disruption. And I think that, I think the jury is out as to what we're going to see with our incoming students for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and what that will mean in terms of the kind of support services we may or may not have to provide students entering college.
You're talking about more remedial work for incoming students?
Well, I don't know that we will necessarily do more remedial work, but I think understanding the level of preparation that students have coming in will be really, really important, which will then help us to set our expectations. I don't know that we will, massively change our business model, so to speak, that we start having a bunch of remedial classes. I would rather work with the community in the K-12 system to figure out how to help them make sure students are prepared to come to college.
And the university has a partnership with the Springfield Public Schools, the neighboring school, Duggan, the Duggan Academy, one of the middle schools in the city. Mm-hmm. You have that partnership there. Mm-hmm. Are you looking to expand those types of opportunities with the Springfield Public Schools and other districts in the region?
We absolutely are, and I think that what we want to do this year is allow schools to get back to whatever they determine is normal. Then we want to engage with the schools and figure out how we can help them create programs, create a seamless process. I have some thoughts about starting a program where students coming out of schools, and we'll pick a major or two, where they can get a 3-year degree. And it will cost them significantly less. They can start taking courses while they're in high school, then a year at the community college, then 2 years at our institution, and get that degree in 3 years for a fraction of the cost. So I think we have to figure out what that looks like.
I want to get back to the issue of cost in a bit, obviously, because that's a big that's a big deal in higher education. But just sticking with the pandemic issues, how important was it, not just for your business model, but how important was it to resume in-person learning on the campus? I mean, you proved during the pandemic that it could be done remotely, but how important was it to have people return to the campus?
I honestly believe it reaffirmed what I have always believed about online education. Some people believe online education is the panacea and will solve all problems as it relates to costs. But we're social beings. And I think the social interaction and helping students to evolve and grow socially, emotionally, morally, and ethically as part of what we do here within the academy is really, really important. So we were on the ground face-to-face. We were in the residence halls. We had small social gatherings, if you will, in the midst of it. But now that we're back fully, 100% without mask and all of those kinds of things, it is great. It is really great.
Why?
Because we're feeling some sense of normalcy. whatever that means. And it's going to, you know, if we have 500 students, that's 500 different stories and experiences with COVID that are unique, but people are coming back together. And that really feels good. That really feels positive.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks to WAMC Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill for that interview. And until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.